one here, the rowdies one there. They kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there. Then they fall on the ground.
Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are
the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and TropaGoal.com, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo, Family Dentistry, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Van Bortle Auto Group, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for being with us tonight, and I can't believe it's just, what is it, 11 more days until Christmas.
And two more days to the one more day to the debate.
And 2 days until we see Abby Wambach play her final match as a professional soccer player. And we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. We have a lot of news to talk about that was nationally, internationally. We have our special guest tonight, rescheduled from last week, the CEO of U.S. Club Soccer and former MLS executive with D.C. United and Toronto FC. He's one of the guys who helped form Major League Soccer back in the mid-90s. He's been involved with U.S. Soccer for over 20 years plus. And we have him for two segments tonight. He was gracious enough to be on from 7 to 7:30. A lot of things to discuss with him. His name is Kevin Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. If you want to Google him, you'll see all the accolades this gentleman has had. We're going to talk about youth soccer for much of his segments, the Recognize to Recover program, what the changes are going to be made in U.S. in youth soccer, not just about just the banning of heading, but some other things that are going to happen as well regarding the registration and how old children are going to be and when you determine the age groups, which for if you're under 8, under 10, whatever. Also the size of the field, things like that. It's a very interesting topic we don't talk about too much on the show. So tonight, if you're a fan of youth soccer, if you're a parent, you definitely want to listen to tonight's show and listen to Kevin Payne because he knows his stuff. We also, of course, have the draws that took place over the weekend for the UEFA Champions League knockout stage and Euro 2016. Dick Howard will be on, and of course we'll talk about the sad result today. Leicester 2, Chelsea 1. Leicester back on top of the Premiership. And, of course, also Michael Lewis tonight. Unfortunately, he's not going to be with us. He deserves a week off after all the work he's put in with Major League Soccer. Actually, he's covering basketball tonight. But we will have him back on next week for our Christmas show. But let's bring in Joe Sirianni now. Joe and I were already debating off mic about soccer, about history, about a lot of different subjects. So it's going to be a wild show tonight.
Andrew, certainly it's a pleasure to be here with you. And even though I love you with all my heart, and I'm so proud that we share the same common thing that we love, which is soccer. And, I have to say that you and I are not on the same thing all the time because that's what makes the show interesting, because we have diversity. You, for all intent and purpose, love English soccer. I happen to love Spanish soccer, Brazilian soccer, and Italian soccer, of course. The difference between, as I told you before, I love soccer immensely, but I distinguish a good player from in two different ways. I love those people that kick the ball, and they just hope that they put the ball in the air and stuff like that. But then they just kick the ball. But then there is these other people that make love to the ball. They just keep the ball on their foot. They look around. They have a presence where the teammates are. They make nice pass. They don't give the pass to their teammate when they got somebody in front of them, because I call them the medicine thing, because somebody's gonna kick you. So, I mean, that's why we're different, and we're going to talk about that with, you know, with our guest and Dick Howard, especially with the kids, because the kids, they have to learn soccer from the basic, and you got to have, it's important they have somebody that teach them correctly, not somebody that says they put them on the field and let them run around in a bunch, and they don't, you know, they just let them loose and have a good time.
Well, that's interesting you say about that, because there's some people who say that youth soccer is all about having fun, it's all about exercise and enjoying yourself, it doesn't matter what the result of the game is. And I say, if you're like that, you know, that's your opinion. I say you need to learn about winning and losing. You need to learn about teamwork. You need to learn how to be a success. And if you don't, you're not a success, how to learn from that. If you can't do that, if you don't keep score. So, and there's a toughness to soccer. I'm not a fan of Spanish soccer. I will freely admit that, because I think it is too much of a game where you see players diving, and any time they get touched, they dive around like a fish out of water, and there's no toughness. We're talking about the 1982 Italian national team. Players like Claudio Gentile, Gaetano Scirea, Franco Baresi, Marco Tardelli, guys like that who are so tough. You didn't mess with those guys. I mean, they were great technical players, but they also were tough. Guys like played for the Lancers, like Miralem Foslic and Nik Mijanovic, guys like that. You have to have both on the team. You have to have the guys who are the creators, the guys who can pick out the passes, guys who can score goals, and then you got to have the guys who can be the tough guys who are going to stand up for their teammates, and they're going to be hard-nosed players.
How would you analyze Pirlo? What kind of player would you think he is?
Pirlo is definitely a creative player, but I think he has some toughness too. I think and you develop that as a veteran. I mean, he's been in the game for so long. But he's a special. You have special kinds of players like him, a guy like himself, or Valderrama, or Glenn Hoddle, or if you talk about guys, you know, in the contemporary, you know, obviously Lionel Messi, players like that. But you have to balance it. You can't have a team of all technical players, because you're going to have players that are going to just be.
So Barcelona for you, Barcelona is not the team that you like.
I don't like Barcelona at all.
But they are the best team in the world
now. Well, we're going to find out about that, because they're going to be in the Champions League knockout stage, and they're going to have a very tough match against Arsenal. Arsenal, another team. My neighbor Dan Sullivan, Knuckles Sullivan, he's a big Arsenal guy. They're a technical team too, but. That's why it's so great to see the different countries play each other, the different styles. I mean, you got your team, Juventus, who are on a real roll right now, are going to face Bayern Munich, one of the top teams in the world. That's the glamour. Everyone's waiting for that matchup. But we have a lot to talk. We'll get to more international soccer news in just a second. We want to mention, of course, tomorrow obviously is the debate. We won't talk about politics, but okay. Wednesday night. 8:00, you got to watch Fox Sports 1 to see the final match of Abby Wambach's career. Talk about somebody who's tough. There's no tougher woman player in the world than Abby Wambach, and she's idolized by so many people out there, and we're all in Rochester very proud of her. She'll face off against China tomorrow, and then Thursday night she'll be here in Rochester. That's the plan, anyway. She'll be here in Rochester, 6:00 at the Convention Center. It's totally free. The reception to honor her here in her hometown. We can park free at the South Avenue Garage. We got our press credentials are in the works, Joe. So we'll be able to cover the event. Jeff DeVeronica, who helped us out from the Democrat and Chronicle, had a great article in this Sunday's paper about Abby's career going all the way back to when Abby was a tiny baby. She was heading the ball right out of the delivery room, I heard.
Yep.
So we got to mention that, and of course, we urge everyone to come out because, you know, Abby helped keep soccer on the map in Rochester when we didn't have a professional team. We didn't have the Rochester Rhinos. Her play at Mercy and what she's done with the national team has just been, it's been incredible.
Isn't that funny? Because, you know, I remember with our predecessor, Charlie Shano, which was probably the original of this show, no doubt about it, not probably. He was the original, the guy that made the thing in motion. And he was partnered with Joe Giuliano to begin with. And, and our other friend that I, you know, that, Jesus, right now, you know, Wayne Fuller, that they did the show together. And, you know, that goes many, many years ago, 20-some years. Can you imagine that this long, this show has been in existence, talking about soccer for all these years?
And Charlie picked out, he said, this is going to be, Abby was gonna, when she was playing high school at Mercy under my high school colleague, Kathy Boughton, and she said, this is going to, she's going to be the greatest player. She's going to be a star.
Exactly.
And she's more than a star. She's a superstar. She's the greatest goal scorer in the history of international soccer. So tomorrow night it's at Fox Sports 1, 7 p.m. Central, and in New Orleans, 8 p.m. Pacific. All the whole Wambach clan is going to be there, so probably half the Superdome will be Wambach people. But it's going to be a great send-off. Hopefully she'll get the start, and they'll take her out sometime
so.
in the second half.
I would think that she should be the starter anyway.
And I'm sure they're going to try to find any way to get her to put the ball in the net, too.
Exactly.
Get her a goal in her last match. Which
we need to call China and tell them to be careful.
Yeah, well, let's just hope nothing happens. Because you never know in this sport. But anyway, before we go to break, I want to mention also, of course, Christmas right around the corner. We're in the Christmas room here in our studio. We got three Christmas trees.
We got
my traditional tree, we got my whimsical tree, and we got my England tree.
And there is presents under the trees besides that.
Santa came early.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash season tickets for these our local teams. You want to definitely support our local teams. No matter if you're a fan of English soccer, Italian soccer, Major League Soccer, doesn't matter. You got to support your local teams, because if you don't have soccer locally, professional teams, then you got nothing. So the Rochester Rhinos, rhinosoccer.com, Western New York Flash, WNYFlash.com. Season tickets, flex packs, you can get those by calling 454-KICK, the Rhinos office. You can get both sets of tickets. Get them both. Give them to your soccer fans in your Christmas list. And for 2016, you're going to see all the big stars of women's soccer right here in Rochester, all the national team players, international stars, and, of course, the Rhinos defending their USL championship they won just a couple of months ago.
And if you go to the Rhinos office and Pat Erkel is over there, I'm sure he's going to give you his autograph for free, okay? Because he's the winningest coach, and he's the winningest general manager.
He was a tremendous player indoors and outdoors.
And he was and he's still a very nice person.
A good family
man, and now a grandfather besides that.
Right. So, again, 454-KICK, rhinosoccer.com, WNYFlash.com. If you get Flash season tickets, by the way, you get a year of free pizza from Salvatore's up if you get them before Christmas. So, again, get your season tickets for next year. Put them under the Christmas tree and make all your soccer fans happy in your household. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dick Cowher. We'll have all the international soccer news. There's certainly a lot to talk about in the international side. We'll do that next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Abby Wambach. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL. La, 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 la.
Santa's got a little friend. His name is Dominic. The cutest little donkey. You'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be. Because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the donkey.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cuja Cuj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's!
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi-Lai Paul Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality, and the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClaridgeDesignCenter.com.
Are you Christmas shopping for that special soccer fan? The USL champion Rochester Rhinos have great holiday specials just for you. The Rhinos are offering a holiday four-pack of tickets for just $20 that can be redeemed at the Salem Stadium box office for any 2016 Rhinos regular season home match. Rhinos season tickets and flex packs for 2016 are also on sale and make a great Christmas gift. Call the Rhinos at 454-KICK or visit rhinosoccer.com to purchase your tickets. The Rhinos will be back at Salem Stadium to begin defense of their USL title next spring.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Oh, by gosh, by golly, it's time for mistletoe and holly.
Dispensing with our normal introduction to honor the chairman of the board himself, old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra, on his 100th birthday. And this song is his Christmas song, the one he wrote himself, Mistletoe and Holly, one of my favorites. This is Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni, joined now by telephone up in Toronto by Dick Howard for our international report, brought to you tonight by Edso Scolo and Allstate Insurance. Two offices for Edso Scolo Insurance, 12 Corners in Brighton and Country Club Plaza in East Rochester. The number to call, or actually the website to go to, is scoloinsuranceagencies.com. Scolo spelled S-C-O-L-L-O. And Dick, good evening. How are you tonight?
Good. 100 years old if he'd lived to be this day, right? Amazing. No. What a singer, though, Frank Sinatra.
And you're right. I mean, when you talk about...
You remember him well,
somebody...
Joe?
I'm sorry?
You remember him well.
Oh,
I do.
Do I? I mean, when I first came in this country, I loved him, Harry Belafonte, all the people that I identify with, the men in my life full.
It's great. You could hear every word that's being sung. I must admit, I listen to some of the current groups, and I just cannot fathom what they are saying. They're saying something.
Must be the accent.
No. It's not really. Can you really tell me that the modern song that you listen on television, you know, you can understand all the lyrics?
Depends who it is. I mean, Michael Bublé is a great singer from Canada, by the way.
Yeah.
And so there's a few of them out there.
I watched his show the other night, Michael Bublé's show. And he sang very well. He sang.
Michael Bublé is good. He's a good singer. And yeah. Celine Dion, you know, we've got some great singers north of the border.
Absolutely.
She was tremendous. I assume you watched the show as well, Dick.
Which one?
Mike Bublé's show.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Well, excellent.
We love talking about music, but we're here to talk about soccer and a lot of things happening.
The music of soccer. What kind of tunes are they going to be playing in Chelsea tonight, Andrew?
I think, you know what they're going to be playing? They're going to be playing a song by the OGs called For the Love of Money, because Roman Abramovich is going to be opening up his massive checkbook to sign some players, and top of the list, as the rumor is Mr. Jamie Vardy, who is the leading scorer in the Premiership and who punished Chelsea today for goal number one. And I think he's on the top of the list that they want to bring to London, and that would certainly be a shock move, but they're talking some major changes.
I can think of other positions. I look at the centre of the defence and the fullbacks. The back four, I thought, were woeful in the first half, and as you rightly mentioned, Jamie Vardy, goal, ball into space, player into space, ball in back of net, but the marking was diabolical. And then the moment of magic, you know, with Riyad Mahrez, fantastic, wasn't it? The Algerian international with that second goal.
They
just superb.
They deserve to win. I mean, Chelsea fought back. You got to give them a lot of credit.
They did. Give them credit. They missed some good chances. But it's going to be a long season for fans of Chelsea Football Club.
Well, it's going to come down to the European Championship, Dick. It's going to come down to the UEFA Champions League. If Chelsea can work some magic there, then it could save the season. And they had the draw for that over the weekend. And certainly some very familiar matchups. Chelsea, you're going to face PSG, Paris Saint-Germain once again. The teams have played last couple of years. And
it's amazing, isn't it?
Series.
The fans don't have far to travel, though, London to Paris.
It'll be good for the fans. They'll get some great crowds, but certainly there's some mouth-watering matchups. And top of the list is Juventus and Bayern Munich. Boy, Joe, I tell you, I'm sure you're not happy with the draw, but it's going to be great to see it, though.
I'm not. It will be atrocious to see it. I won't watch it because my heart will break if Juventus should lose or if they don't play good. I mean, I think the Juventus, it's on the road to recovery. I think that the second half, the first half was mezzo-mezzo. You know, the second half, they really picked up speed. They scored some tremendous
goals.
And they can
get Bayern have been a little bit inconsistent in recent weeks. You know, it didn't look too impressive against Ingolstadt at the weekend. Two late goals got them the win, but no, Juve could spring an upset there, but there's some great games. Geez, you look at Arsenal and Barcelona.
How many times
Arsenal
have they played
playing
each other?
Arguably some of the best football in England at the present time, and who are they playing against? Well, a team that's always number one
in
many people's evaluations of top teams in the world.
How much of your time you spend watching soccer during the day? You know,
during the day, I'll be watching most of the games during the daytime. If I can.
And you tape a lot of them?
Sorry?
You record most of them?
Sometimes, yeah. There's games you can, you know, PVRs are great, that you can tape games and see other games live. But there's just so much on the TV these days, Joe, isn't it? It's just fantastic.
It is. It's
and I don't have to say that I'm off sick as well, being sort of semi-retired now. It gives me time to watch the games.
There's just so many, like you said, Dick, there's just so many matches. It seems all the teams that finished second, and the way they do this draw is that the first-place teams in the groups are drawn against the second-place teams. And because Juventus finished second in their group, because PSG finished second, Arsenal finished second, that's because they got the tough draw. Roma finished second. They've got to play Real Madrid. I mean, certainly two of the great teams, but then you've got some of the lesser teams that...
Yeah, I think Manchester City have got a good draw. I think they can get a result against Dynamo Kiev and be sort of an English representative continuing in the competition, but...
What's interesting there is that the first leg's going to be played under closed doors because
of
some issues with Dynamo Kiev, but you've got Benfica against Zenit St. Petersburg and also Ghent from Belgium against Wolfsburg. So you're going to be seeing some teams in the quarterfinals that are not...
And Roma, Real Madrid will also be a good, you know, Italy-Spain contrast, you know, to the, you know, more established teams in Europe coming up against one another. But it's getting down to the nitty-gritty now, and it's great if you're a fan of the game because, as I say, you've got these competitions, and we're seeing a lot of it in North America, which is fantastic.
So February 16th, 17th, 23rd, 24th will be the first legs, and then middle of March for the second legs. And they'll have the championship in late May, and then we go right into Euro 2016. And Joe goes crying again because Italy just got put into the worst possible group, I think. Group C is just a Bear. Actually, Group E. Sorry, I can't read my own handwriting.
Belgium, Ireland, the Sweden,
and Italy. What a tough group that is. Wow. And Joe, I don't know. Italy's going to have to be at their best, I think, to get out of that group.
But let me say this. Based upon what I see on the Italian television and the Italian teams, the majority of, Dick and I talked about this before, the majority of the Italian players are going to be called up are people that are sitting on the bench. So the reality of the thing is that unless they do something, they change something in the Italian soccer, they're not going to go very far. And Conte's got his hands full. He's already voiced their opinion that I'm just stating, that the club, we got too many foreign players, not foreign players, too many other players that are playing in the Italian league. Even Juventus, the team that I love very much, you only got about 3 people of Italian descent that are playing. All the rest are Spanish, Argentinian, Kenyan, from all different countries. So when you look at Roma, take Roma, same thing. Take Inter, above all, which is leading the table right now. So they're going to have their hands full to move forward.
And England are in that category as well, Joe. You're quite right. We talked about this. You know, the dearth of playing key positions. Jamie Vardy accepted because he's certainly been tremendous this season in English football. But in key positions in between the posts and up front, England is suffering the same problems as Italy. But England, I think, have a reasonably good group. I think Roy Hodgson will be quite happy with that. Russia, Wales, Slovakia. The Wales game, of course, has got everybody talking because, of course, Wales returning to the big time after a prolonged absence. But England should have no problems in getting through Group B, that's for sure.
They're very good in qualifying. And you're wondering which of the home countries was going to be drawn in England's group. And England and Wales will certainly be a lively match, to say the least. The other groups, the Group C, Germany, Ukraine, Poland, and Northern Ireland. Anytime in Germany and Poland play each other, it is a massive match. And, of course, you've got Robert Lewandowski, who is starring for Bayern Munich and has scored so many great goals for them. He'll be playing for the Polish national team. Spain, I think, has a very tough group. Czech Republic, Turkey, and Croatia. Oh, Bob Turgut is excited that he's going to be playing against Turks will be playing against Spain. Portugal, I think, has the easiest group. Iceland and Austria and Hungary, who used to be one country about 100 years ago, now they're going to be playing against each other. And then France, the home side, I think a very straightforward group with Romania, Albania, the Minnows, and Switzerland, who will be tough, but I think France should be able to navigate that group pretty easily. What do you think?
Certainly, it's going to be some great competition with the additional teams. And as you rightly mentioned, for countries like Albania and Iceland to be on the big stage, it's just fantastic, the interest in those countries. I'm really impressed and have been with this Icelandic team because they, you know, given the size of the country and the availability of players, it's marvelous that they've done so well and got into the finals again, you know, or not again, but a good chance of doing well in the Euro.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to quickly mention, of course, the World Club Cup is happening over in Japan, and the Asian team's doing very well, Dick. You've got the Asian representative, Guangzhou Evergrande, who knocked out Club America. They have the enviable task of playing Barcelona. That'll be Thursday morning at 5:30. So if you get up early before you go to work, you can check that one out. Go ahead, Dick. I'm sorry. So anyway, the other matchup will be other semifinal is Sanfrecce Hiroshima, the Japanese champions who got in as the host country. They'll take on the Millonarios of River Plate, and that'll be Wednesday at 5:30. And the winners will play over the weekend for the World Championship. And we'll see what happens, Dick. You know, the Asian teams are going to have a lot of support playing in Japan.
Yeah, no, it'd be good, and it's great. You know, with Luis Felipe Scolari, formerly coach of Brazil, is now in charge at Guangzhou Evergrande and got some Brazilians in the team. They had a surprise result, a great winner over Club America. But as I say, it's going to be tough in the final, if they, or the semi-final, if they get it through to play Barca, because everybody's looking at, you know, a River Plate Barca final, and that's usually the case. The champions of CONMEBOL, the South American Confederation, against the champions of Europe, UEFA, and it looks to be that way around. But it's good for Asian football that that's happening.
We'll see what happens. That's why they play the matches. You never know what could happen, but that would certainly be two of the most famous clubs in the world if it comes on to River Plate against Barcelona. It should be quite a final if it does happen. Those matches are on Fox Sports 1. So, Dick, thank you so much, as always, for being on the show, and we will have lots to talk about next weekend.
We certainly will, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Dick.
Have a good night, Dick. Ciao.
Dick Howard here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, live from Toronto. You can hear Dick every week on our show with the International Report, as we always spend part of our show talking about the world's game. When we come back, and for the next half hour, we will turn our attention to U.S. soccer, and specifically youth soccer. We will be joined by one of the top executives in soccer in America for the past two decades. He is the head of U.S. club soccer, former MLS executive Kevin Payne. And he comes up next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hello, I'm Tony DiCicco. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, and I'm listening here to WYSL.
His sleigh with things, things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas.
Your local sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1, W221 CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in six locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great price.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's!
Hi, this is Kitty Van Bortel. When the time comes for you to buy a used car or truck, I really hope that you'll come to see me. The reason is very simple. You can trust me. You can depend on the fact that I will never sell you a vehicle that has trouble. If one does get past me, you let me know and I'll make it right. I don't care how long you've owned it. So please, don't worry. Just come to my place. I truly take the fear out of buying a used car.
VanBortelCars.com.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Have yourself
Christmas.
Fantastic stuff from the legendary Frank Sinatra. And, of course, we've celebrated his 100th birthday on Saturday and all sorts of music and tributes and movie tributes. Of course, he's a great actor as well as a great singer.
And we celebrate Christmas coming up in a few days. So.
That's right. And, again, if you're a soccer person, even if you're not, support your local teams, Rochester Rhinos and the Western New York Flash. Season tickets available by calling the Rhinos office at 454-KICK. And joining us now, a gentleman who, without him, we probably wouldn't have the Rhinos or the Western New York Flash or Major League Soccer or any of it here in this country. Person who has been involved with the management of soccer for over two decades now, and now he is the head of U.S. Club Soccer. We're going to talk about youth soccer tonight on our show. I'm very happy to be joined by Kevin Payne, the CEO of U.S. Club Soccer, and he's appearance tonight brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo, Family Dentistry, who played youth soccer and supports youth soccer himself, located at 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates, Suite 200. Number to call is 328-3382 or go to davidolivodmd.com. Kevin, thanks for being with us on the show, and welcome to the Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Bob, it's great to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
This is Andrew Battisti and Joe Suriani, the host, the guy who used to train for the trainer for the Rochester Lancers back in the day, and he certainly, yeah, and he's been involved in soccer for many, many years. So, Kevin, first of all, thank you for coming on the show. And so, for the people who may not be familiar with what U.S. Club Soccer does specifically, can you just give us a little background on what the organization does for soccer in the United States?
Sure. So, U.S. Club Soccer is one of the three largest youth soccer organizations in the country. It's the youngest of those organizations. It was begun in 2001. And its purpose is really to support clubs, soccer clubs, provide resources for them to improve the manner in which they provide the right kind of experience for players and help them organize competitions. And also represent them as a voice for club soccer. The basic premise of U.S. Club Soccer is that the club is the most important building block of the game in this country. It's really the stone on which the foundation will be built for the game in this country. And we don't exist as a governing body per se. We're not. That's not our focus. We're not a bureaucracy focused on rules and governance. We exist to serve clubs.
So is this mostly youth clubs, or does this also get into adult soccer as well?
We have some adult soccer, but it's primarily youth clubs. We have about 450,000 members. About 420,000 or so are youth. And about 80% of our membership are kids who are playing on competitive teams.
So it's obviously a very important organization. And again, like you said, it's the building blocks for soccer in this country, because we're teaching the kids, the youth, how to play the game, the proper way to play the game, and all aspects of the game as well. And I was telling Joe before the show, when I was used to be a referee back in, boy, it must have been the 1980s, going back that far, yes, it's been that long. When I used to referee youth matches of children 7, 8 years old, they were playing on a full-size field with a regulation soccer ball. And it didn't work. I mean, it was beehive soccer is what you used to call it, because all the players were just gathering around the ball and basically just kicking it wherever they wanted to kick it. And one of the things that I really like about some of the new initiatives for U.S. soccer is the way they want to change the game regarding the number of players, the size of the ball, the size of the goal, the rules that are used, whether it be, we'll get to heading in a bit, but talking about no offsides, no goalkeeper. And I think that's really good, because you want these players to learn the skills of the game, and you can't do that on a full-size field when you're 7 years old. It's crazy.
Hey, the whole idea is to give kids more touches on the ball, let them spend more time on the ball. I know what you're talking about. I remember when my own daughter was 8 or 9 years old, and she was very small for her age, and she was playing actually in a co-ed league that included boys that were 11, who were, you know, 40 or 50 pounds heavier than her and, you know, a foot taller, and they were playing on a full-size field. So now the focus is to create different field sizes, different numbers of kids per team based on different ages. And it's to provide a more fun environment for kids, but also to provide a better soccer environment so they can each kid can spend a little more time on the ball, get more touches in, and hopefully de-emphasize winning a little bit, particularly in the part of the parents.
That's always tough, believe me. It's something that's very hard to do. And Joe, I know you're chomping at the bit to ask some questions, so go ahead.
Kevin, Joe Sirianni here. You know, my thought about youth soccer, you know, young kids, is a little bit more different, maybe because I grew up in a different age, time limit, you know, that I believe that young kids that are prone to play soccer, the basic and most important thing is to have qualified people to teach them how to play the game, to teach them how to kick the ball, to teach them how to trap the ball, and to teach them positioning, and to teach them the element of the game. To, you know, to what Andrew said, I for a while in my younger days, I did do a little bit of coaching. It wasn't not my thing because I didn't have the patience. And those kids were culminating and grouping and chasing the ball. That's what needs to be changed. They need to be, you know, young kids, because most of the kids, they start playing soccer at 5 years old in Europe, and they progress. So what do you think about my remarks, you know, pertaining to what I just said?
Well, I think that's exactly what we're trying to accomplish. So, you know, a couple generations ago, when you and I were young, kids played a lot more soccer on their own, without parents, without adults around, and it was more like play. And, you know, they learned to be creative. They learned to solve their own problems. Unfortunately, not just in soccer, but in just about everything now, that kind of free, unsupervised play just really doesn't exist anymore. And one of the things that small-sided games intends to address is that fact that it wants to destructure the game slightly, take the adult coaches out of the game, and let kids enjoy the game for what it is and figure out their own roles on the field, make their own decisions on the field, solve their own problems on the field. At the same time, they need to be taught properly. And U.S. Soccer is also trying, and our organization is going to be spending a great deal of time trying to better educate coaches about how to train players. But unfortunately, in this country, there has never been an emphasis on player development as a skill, as a coaching skill. You know, we have traditionally taught all coaches from kind of the same playbook. So, you know, a person that wanted to get a C or a B or an A license, but they were really coaching, say, 12-year-old kids, they weren't really being taught anything any different than somebody who was going to be coaching in Major League Soccer. And it's a completely different skill set. So in places like Europe or, you know, South America, where you know, developing individual players has been a great skill for a long time, there's a whole, you know, a very large group of coaches who that's their specialty. They develop players. They're not out there to win soccer games. Unfortunately, in this country, the way the game has evolved, and there hasn't been a lot of real structure around coaching development in this country. So we have kind of ignored the skill of player development until now, and there's a big attempt now by the Federation and other organizations like ours to try to reemphasize to coaches that, you know, at those younger ages, they shouldn't be worrying too much about tactics. They shouldn't be worrying about doing whatever it takes to win the game. Their focus should be how do they make each and every kid in their program better.
That's certainly a great way to go about things. And, you know, again, development of children, it's like being a teacher. You really are, and you have to be taught, and a certain, you're going to teach, you're going to work with children that's, you know, age 7, 6, 7, 8. It's going to be different than working with kids a little bit older. So, Kevin, this is excellent information. And we're going to take a break. Can you come back? We're going to talk a little about the big question that really got Joe and I and our guests are arguing, I guess, was the de-emphasizing heading and making it illegal, I guess, for younger children. So can you stay through the break, and we'll come right back and talk about that?
Well, yeah, and this is something that we've been looking at in U.S. soccer for quite a while. It ended up being brought to a head, no pun intended, by a lawsuit in California, which was settled after, you know, we won the early motions. But then we ended up settling it because the lawsuit wasn't seeking damages. It was seeking protocols.
Well, Kevin, let's hold it there. We'll come back and we'll talk about this in more detail. And we'll do that right next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass with Kevin Payne, the CEO of U.S. Club Soccer, here on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Where the love light gleams.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Western New York Flash and Salvatore's have teamed up for a very special Christmas offer for our soccer fans. When you purchase one or more Flash season tickets by Christmas Day, you will receive a year of free pizza from Salvatore's of $200 value. Season tickets start at just $100, so this is an offer not to be missed. To buy your Flash season tickets and get free Salvatore's pizza for a year, call the Salem Stadium box office at 454- Kick the Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Companies have all kinds of ways to reward their customers. Points, card punches, free hotel nights. But isn't the best reward saving money from the start? Good thing Allstate makes it so easy. Just bundle coverage for your car, home, motorcycle, or more with an Allstate agent, and you can save up to 30%. So get the protection you need and the reward of savings you deserve.
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, and Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hi, this is Kitty Van Bortle. When the time comes for you to buy a used car or truck, I really hope that you'll come to see me. The reason is very simple. You can trust me. You can depend on the fact that I will never sell you a vehicle that has trouble. If one does get past me, you let me know and I'll make it right. I don't care how long you've owned it. So please, don't worry. Just come to my place. I truly take the fear out of buying a used car.
VanBortleCars.com.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni back with the CEO of U.S. Club Soccer and former MLS executive Kevin Payne. This part of our show is brought to you by the Van Bortel Auto Group, Van Bortel Ford in East Rochester, Van Bortel Subaru in Victor, and Van Bortel Chevrolet in Macedon. For more information, go to VanBortelCars.com, VanBortelCars.com. So, Kevin, we're talking about the upcoming changes or recommendations by U.S. Soccer to ban heading for children under 10 and under, and then limiting it for children 10 to 13. And when this was announced, I blew up out of the air. I just was not happy with this for a number of reasons. And the main reason, and maybe it's selfish on my part, but I see this causing our country's soccer to become substandard to the rest of the world. We have Abby Wambach as the greatest example, the greatest women's soccer player I think has ever played the game, our own Rochester native, who started playing soccer at 5 years old and played with the boys because she was so good. And her main skill and has gave her so many goals was heading the ball. If these rules had been in place at that time, who knows, Abby might have been playing basketball because she was just as good as basketball as she was in soccer. And I just worry that we're going to become less of a soccer nation if the rest of the world and kids are heading the ball and we're not heading the ball. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I just I don't agree with you at all.
Okay.
I don't, first of all, I don't think many kids head the ball at all well when they're 7 or 8 or 9 years old. There clearly is a growing body of medical evidence that that even relatively minor head trauma at those ages may have a cumulative effect. Kids' necks are not strong enough. Their brains are not fully developed. And there's just way too many question marks about what impact heading the ball, properly or improperly, at those young ages has on kids' like or young players' likelihood to develop issues with post-concussion syndrome and so forth later in life. So our consensus agreement, and there's really, at the top levels of U.S. soccer, there have really been no voices of dissent about this. No one's concerned that this is going to create a problem from a developmental standpoint. We're banning heading, and it's not a recommendation for all registered members of U.S. soccer. It's going to be the law. We're banning heading under 10 and limiting heading from 10 to 12, and that's probably appropriate. To be honest with you, we would rather have kids spending a lot more time with the ball on the ground. The emphasis on heading in this country has always been, in my view, a little too great anyway, and probably reflective of the influence that English coaches have had here. We want to be playing the game with the ball on the ground. There's substantial medical evidence that suggests that it's not healthy for kids of that age to be heading the ball. And we're not concerned about the developmental effect. We're far more concerned about the potential health issues that heading the ball at those young ages could lead to.
What's interesting, Kevin, is when one of the things I brought up when this came out, I said, well, why don't we go to potentially using headgear, which some players do use, especially in the women's game. A couple of the players in the World Cup used headgear, field players, not just the goalies like Petr Cech does. But the ruling of U.S. Soccer, they actually said that would be a detriment to the game. They were more concerned about not the heading of the ball, but the elbows and arms that go up when you head the ball, where that would actually be what would cause a potential concussion. You do see that even in the pro game. That happens a great deal. That's where you see injuries.
Well, only about 18% of concussions that are heading related occur from actually heading the ball. They far more often, they're a result of either a clash of heads or an elbow to the head. There's no evidence that suggests that headgear provides any protection against concussion. It can provide valuable protection against cuts and so forth around the head, but there's nothing to suggest that it prevents or reduces the likelihood of concussions. And this policy was very driven by the medical professionals, by U.S. Soccer's medical committee, which is comprised of a number of very eminent people, as well as some outside experts on concussion. And this was essentially a decision to put safety first and to err on the side of caution. And I think everybody's comfortable with that approach.
Kevin, I listen to what you're saying, and I agree from the medical point of view. I totally 100% agree. My only remark to that is that instead of using a regular, the regular ball that is kind of heavy, there is light balls. There is, the balls that are not as heavy. But above all, what I think is that it goes back again to training and conditioning and develop the head, developing the neck bones and to be able, and then get taught how to head the ball instead of, waiting for the ball to hit you that you got to meet, the drill that it's used to teach people. I agree the young kids, their brains is not fully developed, but I totally agree. I've been the trainer of, for the Rochester Lancer for the existence, and I know the difficulties of trauma, and even in the adult, in the professional players. But at the same token, I believe that with the right training, with the right approach, and I'm not talking about the little kids, and I'm talking about 12, 13, where that they're pretty well developed. If they are developed and taught in a sort of nice way, and on a one-on-one basis to do the thing that is safe for them and for the game, I think that there would be a good thing to implement. I agree that, I agree that you're right in many respects.
Unfortunately, the prevalence of concussions in sports, particularly youth sports, is causing a change in behaviors in every sport. And it's, it's a big concern. And I think that we've done a good job of getting out in front of it and reacting in a way that I think is sensible. I don't think it's an overreaction. I think kids can still have a great time playing the game. It, like I said, in many ways, we'd rather that the ball wasn't up in the air at those ages anyway. We want them to play with the ball on the ground. That's where the game's played today. And hopefully, this will not retard our development as a soccer nation, but it'll keep more kids in the game.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this all works out, because it's certainly a major change to the way, as you mentioned, there's an English influence, which, back in the day, it's the long ball game because of most of the field conditions in England were pretty bad. But the Spanish influence with, the success of Barcelona, it certainly has made an influence in this country. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works out, Kevin. And I know with U.S. Club Soccer at the forefront, the best decisions are going to be made. So thank you so much for this information, and we'll certainly be watching. It's going to be something that's going to be making itself very evident in the next 12 months or so as this begins to get implemented. So we appreciate
your time. Well, thanks very much for having me on, guys, and thanks for keeping the faith on our game for all these years. We appreciate it. Joe, when you were at the Lancers, was Dave Sarakin there?
Definitely.
Dave's a very dear friend of mine.
I know.
He's living the good life in Los Angeles now, but he talks often of his days with the Lancers and how much fun he had playing in the old NASL.
If you see him and mention my name, I'm sure he'll have a few things to tell you.
Kevin, thank you so much for being on our show tonight.
Thank you.
Kevin Payne,
Happy
holidays, yes. Kevin Payne, the CEO of U.S. Club Soccer and former MLS executive, certainly a great discussion, and Like I said, well, time will tell. We'll see what happens as the youth change the way they play the game. It's certainly a major change, and we'll be watching it here on our show. I, of course, also thank Dick Howard for being on, as always. Michael Lewis will be back with us next Monday, hopefully. And also thank you, of course, to Bob D'Angelo down at WYSL for pushing the buttons and playing the great Christmas music. Rhinos and Flyers season tickets. Get them by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com for the Rhinos, WNYFlash.com for the Flash. Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WYSL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Good night, everybody.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Van Bortle Auto Group, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.